Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
All right, I guess we have to do the show now, right?
Yes, we do. We can no longer talk privately about
it. We are aghast at the editorial in the New York Times today.
The op-ed piece. It wasn't an editorial, it was op-ed.
It's an op-ed opinion. Okay,
right.
Yeah, an editorial is from the paper, an op-ed somebody gives them to print.
Right.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you. Yeah, that's a very important distinction, actually.
It is.
So I'll readily admit that. Well, yes, Mark Lawrence misinformed, and as many of our listeners has often pointed out, just a real anchor on the show. I'm a news anchor, so this is perfectly
you
normal.
A dragging us down type of anchor.
Do you think that's what they meant?
It could be. I mean, I'm not saying that's for sure.
I think it is. People have sent us notes saying, Mark, I'll tell you what,
you are
a real anchor on this show. All right, 1-800-795-9565, not random numbers, no siree, Bob. They are the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line numbers. And the toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy of Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You are welcome throughout our show to email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. And On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1950. 4th Street to Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. We'll have lots more to say about those sponsors as our show progresses here. We are talking about, right off the beginning of the show here, the editorial that's in the New York Times, the op-ed. I'm sorry. I kind of use them interchangeably, but there is a big difference. All right. The op-ed, which is authored by an anonymous individual, claims to be a senior White House individual who the New York Times says through their extensive vetting process is, in fact, a senior official. But other people seem to point out that, well, senior is kind of a nebulous word. They kind of give it to anybody who comes into the administration and helps out in one of the key positions, sort of the top 200 people.
Doesn't even have to have complete access to the president to be called that.
Although this individual describes that kind of access. They have to be somebody who does get to the White House once in a while, I would think, anyway.
Assuming it's true, there's a very interesting story online on CNN this morning. And it's written by Brian Stetler, and it's called The Story Behind the New York Times Anonymous Op-Ed Blasting Trump. And he kind of goes through what he says is the background of it, that they were approached. The New York Times was approached through an intermediary by this senior official who said they'd like to write an op-ed piece about what's really going on inside the White House. And they allowed them to do it. Supposedly only a few people inside the New York Times know the exact identity of the person.
Yeah, two or three are described.
Right. Well, and of course, there's all sorts of speculation. I saw two or three articles this morning, Las Vegas odds makers offering odds on who it is. Reminds me of Deep Throat during the Nixon administration.
And it was, 20 years till we knew.
Right. And then it was somebody we didn't even really know very well.
Right. It wasn't somebody. Well, and that makes perfect sense. One of the CBS commentators this morning, he's like a historian, White House, you know, he's an egghead. He said about 200 people could have this kind of occasional access, but at the same time have access to cabinet officials who tell them. For example, they talk about them, you know, trying to dissuade the president from doing certain things. Well, there are, certainly about two or three dozen people that have that access on a regular basis, but 100 that have it on a weekly basis. And then this doesn't have to be one of those access people. It can be the sort of right next to them, you know, in an agency, for example, you know, high in the Department of Transportation, or, one of the sort of the vice presidents, so to speak, of the Department of Health and Human Services, who has access to the Secretary of Health and Human Services, who might tell them these kinds of things. So they say there's about 200 people that this could be. And of course, you and I only know the names of about a dozen players there.
Well, if you read this thing, it really is short on specifics. it talks in generalizations about how he behaves, how he acts, the fact that he doesn't have a moral compass or his decisions are immorally made. He has no guiding set of principles, things like that. You know, it's just a rehash in many respects of the Woodward book or the Bernstein book and the kind of things that the press have been saying about Donald Trump since day one. So, I mean, I don't think a senior official had to write this. I don't see anything in here that, you know, specific instance where we saved you. You know, he wanted to do this.
He wanted to bomb North Korea. He was ready. Oh, no, that's in the book Fear. Okay,
that's in the book Fear. Yeah. But, you know, it's not a terribly long thing. You know, he says, in addition to his mass marketing of the notion that the press is the enemy of the people, don't get me wrong, they're bright spots. So, I mean, it's kind of going back and forth saying about the good things, and the good things supposedly are those done by these secret people who are helping the country by reinforcing when Trump does stumble on something good. They did say he complained for a long time about being boxed into having to expel so many of the Russian diplomats or spies, if you will, that he didn't like being boxed into a position where he had to do that. He wanted to not send that many out of the country, but these people pushed him into doing it.
Well, we locked
him in. It's not a terribly long piece if you haven't read it.
Well, we can read some of it. Why don't we read a little bit of it?
Okay.
Why don't we do that? We got an email pending, but we'll take all comers on this topic. 1-800-795-9565. Email us at onthemarketwkok.com. There's nothing in this op-ed that would dissuade somebody who's a blind President Trump supporter. And likewise, it's just more the same for people who are individuals who don't like the way the president behaves.
If this is a senior official, I would think it would be more impactful for that person to resign, and at the same time, in his letter of resignation, stating all the reasons why he believes President Trump is unfit for the office, if he actually has access to the president, actually has an opinion. This seems to me more disloyal, if it's true, than it does a genuine desire to solve a problem that the writer believes the country is facing.
And has any other president in the history of America faced this kind of next-door criticism?
Yeah, Abe Lincoln, for example. There were people, even in his own administration, I mean, if you want to read a great book sometime, read the book Team of Rivals by Doris Kearns Goodwin. President Lincoln actually brought into his administration people who had run against him for the office
in
the Republican primary deliberately. Some of them initially thought he was an idiot or a fool, and they came to the realization that he wasn't. But there were people who were very upset when he suspended the writ of habeas corpus, you know, during the Civil War, and he was prepared to do all sorts of tough things, and he got tons of criticism for it from within and from without his administration. So it's not unusual for this kind of thing to happen.
And Franklin Roosevelt or who? Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Well, they thought they buried him by making him vice president. And then lo and behold,
voila.
McKinley was shot and killed. And here our president was a guy named Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, people think Mike Pence is out of the picture. And you say some people are speculating
that it is Pence because of the use of the word lodestar. Some reporter researched the word lodestar because it doesn't seem to fit. I mean, if you take the writing part of this, it doesn't seem to fit in the context of the way the person writes to suddenly drop in a word like lodestar that many people would have to look up the meaning of.
Including myself. Refresh my memory. I've heard the word.
I don't know what it means either, to be perfectly honest with you.
We'll have to look it up.
But the only thing they found is that Vice President Pence had used it. I mean, you could use this word in several different contexts, but Vice President Pence had used it about six or seven times in the last year or two. So the speculation is it's him.
And it's not the trucking company Lodestar, which is out there on the highways.
Well, and then on the other hand, you have people who are being paid to analyze the writing style and compare it to the writing styles of senior officials to determine whether or not they can identify who it is who wrote it.
Well,
some of this sounds a little paranoid to me, but...
Well, the only dilemma with this is the New York Times admits that they altered it slightly to fit their definition, or their, well, not style.
Style.
But
no, it says
style. Is it style?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, the way that they allow things to be written in the paper. One of the, Merriam-Webster says, lodestar is a star that leads or guides, especially the North Star, or one who serves as an inspiration, model, or guide.
As I said, it could be used several different ways, but in this case, let's see if I can find it here. I have to find the word lodestar in here. I know it was near the end of it, but it was... It wasn't, for example, it didn't give me any real clue as to the writer. You know, it just didn't. I mean, it's a word that you drop in. It really doesn't fit in the rest of this stuff, but it, you know, obviously some people felt that it indicated the vice president was involved with
it. All right, read some of it. We'll take a little break.
Okay. It says, President Trump is facing a test to his presidency unlike any faced by a modern American leader. It's not just that the special counsel looms large or the country is bitterly divided over Mr. Trump's leadership, or even that his party might well lose the House to an opposition hell-bent on his downfall. The dilemma, which he does not fully grasp, is that many of the senior officials in his own administration are working diligently from within to frustrate parts of his agenda and his worst inclinations. I would know. I am one of them. To be clear, ours is not the popular resistance of the left. We want the administration to succeed, but think that many of its policies have already made America safer and more prosperous. But we believe our first duty is to the country, and the president continues to act in a manner that is detrimental to the health of our republic. That is why many Trump appointees have vowed to do what we can to preserve our democratic institutions while thwarting Mr. Trump's more misguided impulses until he is out of office. The root of the problem is the president's amorality. Anyone who works with him knows he is not moored to any discernible first principles that guide his decision-making. Although he was elected as a Republican, the president shows little affinity for ideals long espoused by conservatives, free minds, free markets, and free people. At best, he has invoked these ideals in scripted settings. At worst, he has attacked them outright. In addition to his mass marketing of the notion that the press is the enemy of the people, President Trump's impulses are generally anti-trade and anti-democratic. Don't get me wrong, there are bright spots that the near-ceaseless negative coverage of the administration fails to capture. Effective deregulation, historic tax reform, a more robust military, and more. But these successes have come despite, not because of, the president's leadership style, which is impetuous, adversarial, petty, and ineffective. From the White House to executive branch departments and agencies, senior officials will privately admit their daily disbelief at the commander-in-chief's comments and actions. Most are working to insulate their operations from his whims.
All right, we can read some more of this as time goes in. We'd love your opinion on this topic. Call us 1-800-795-9565. I kind of stand by what I said earlier. I don't think there's anything that a real Trump supporter is going to hear in here that is damning, and I don't think there's anything here that somebody who doesn't like President Trump would become more enamored to him. That's not likely to happen, but is it going to change any opinion? Would it change your opinion, or what do you think about this idea that if you work for somebody, you can secretly write an op-ed piece that gets national publicity.
Do you suppose that it's possible that this isn't a senior official, that this was made up?
Well, you mean that the New York Times made it up?
Why not? Wouldn't be the first time people have written something out of whole cloth that fit there.
Well,
they have been relentless in attacking the president.
They described three people at the Times that know who it is and that it's a real person. That it's not what they say. Well, it's not outside the realm of possibility. I mean, the New York Times has been fooled as well as the Washington Post and other papers by fake individuals, so that's possible.
Howard Hughes' biography comes to mind.
Well, so therefore, that is possible, I think, somehow. But on the other hand, I think, like you said, there's really nothing in there there's no shocking revelations in this. It's just...
It's a rehash of things they have said before.
People have been talking about.
You know, and I don't see anything here that if I were a senior official who was upset about this, what's so compelling that's happened that makes me want to write this? You know, I would think if part of my explanation would be, my head is exploding, this latest horrible thing has made me want to write this down. But the writer doesn't point to any specific thing other than the fact that, what do they call it, virtue signaling. We're here to save you, folks.
Just so you know. All right, call us. Your opinion, please. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. We got all four lines open right now. We'd love to see you light them up. 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's is the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. I neglect to say that across from me is Mr. Joe McGranahan. Happens to be the mayor of Shamokin Dam, but that's pure coincidence. He comes in here as an ear-plugged conservative and willing to talk about all the things he's seen on Fox News today.
What is an ear-plugged conservative? And I just quoted stories from CNN this morning. You know, I know the popular opinion of anybody who actually is a conservative is that all they do is watch Fox News.
They're fake news, yeah. Rob Center's on the other side of the glass, and he does a fabulous job. There's just no argument about that. And, of course, I'm the anchor, Mark Lawrence. I drag us down, brother. But I keep us from going downstream.
Bubble, rub, rub, rub.
Right. I keep us from going over the dam. All right, Dan, thank you so much for calling in. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, you know, Joe, I was thinking the very thought that you were, how do we know someone in the New York Times didn't write that, because it's an anonymous source, and I'm with you on that. I thought that last evening when I first heard that. How do we know where it came from? And this is what's so dangerous, and why our president has such an issue with the press, because most of them are all in a group against him. They're just a part of the left wing of the Democratic Party. That's all they are. They're not unbiased at all. And that's
well, but what if it's real? Okay, let's stipulate that the potential exists that the newspaper made this up, you know, which is very unlikely, but it's anything's possible. This is America, right? So let's suppose that. But let's also suppose it's real. So what if it is a senior official, somebody in the top 50 within the White House or the cabinets, and they have all these observations? What's your reaction to actually, you know, considering that this is real?
Well, you know, the reason I'm sure it's not real, because Trump laid out his platform long before these things now that are turning up, that they're saving Trump, we're keeping him from destroying himself. He laid out his platform perfectly well, better than any other person running for office. When I voted for President Trump, I knew what I was voting for. I knew he was, if he kept his word, I knew what he was going to do. And like he says, promises made, promises kept.
Okay, so you're saying that, okay, let's stipulate it's true. Okay, so what? I mean, if he's amoral, that's fine. That doesn't bother, you know, most Republicans these days.
But he's doing
what he said he would.
That's a cheap shot at Trump to call him amoral. I disagree very strongly that he's amoral.
Really?
There's a difference between immoral and amoral.
Right.
You know, he may be immoral. He may also be amoral.
I disagree strongly. That's a cheap shot from what we call the fake news. They use that all the time. He has no direction in his life. He'll go anyway. Well, Trump laid out his agenda
Right, you mentioned that, but that doesn't have anything to do with morality.
But here's the point that we're kind of missing in this discussion. This writer implies that this is widespread, that many people are involved in this, not just him. Now, you would think that somebody, if that were the case, this would be a much bigger deal than it is. Other people would be coming forward. They would have gotten together. If this was a concerted effort on the part of many people to save us from President Trump from within the administration, you would think that they would come forward and they would resign and they would do the honorable thing, which
well,
is
have
come
not
out
people
into
done that, resigned and told all about what they see there?
Omarosa,
that's why.
Manigault, Harris. So that's
right, there's nothing
other than that, no.
Well, but because of other individuals, this isn't a surprise. Go ahead, Dan.
And Trump's group of people surrounded him in there. They say all these things that are made up, even in the book by Woodward, are just fabrications of things that never happened. And I feel it's no different with this. I think Trump has more direction in his life than any president we ever had.
Whoa. And he has direction. What's his direction?
North by northeast.
His program is to drain. The biggest thing Trump has to do for me, and I don't know if he can do it, the swamp is eating him alive. This is part of the swamp that Trump talked about. And if this is a mole in his administration that did that op-ed, that's part of the big swamp. And the newspaper and a lot of the networks are part of the swamp. They're all buddy, buddy, buddy. They're buddies with the Democratic Party. And they live in an echo chamber. When something like this happens, you turn it over to a net like I did last night. They were all in there echoing, Trump's unstable. We have to get rid of him. And last night I stayed up and watched Steve Colbert. He had, I just lost his name. He was the Secretary of State under President Obama. I know you know who he is. And anyway, yeah. He was saying...
Well, it was Hillary Clinton.
That would be a she.
Right.
It was Kerry. John Kerry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's running for president, they say.
He was on there, and him and Colbert said, we have to get Trump out of office. He's so unstable. And, you know, and we even have Republicans that are in the swamp saying Trump's crazy. And they keep plastering Trump as being crazy. And he's a genius. I'll stand on the ground. Trump's a genius. He manipulates the press. All he has to do is say one thing, and they'll spend a week going off on it. And all the time they're going off and acting crazy, Trump supporters are behind the Trump, and we're gaining momentum.
All right,
gaining because of the craziness. The crazies are in the press.
All right, we got another call standing by.
You guys have great talking. Keep trucking, man.
Thank you. Yeah, we're Lodestar. That is a trucking company, incidentally. L-O-D-E is the Lodestar reference in the editorial, but Lodestar, L-O-A-D, is the name of the trucking company. Cindy, you're on the mark.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Mark. First of all, good morning, everyone. The Lodestar comment, because, you know, most of the time these speeches that are provided are made by third parties. The president and the vice president aren't sitting there writing speeches. We hire on their behalf a cadre of people who sit and write speeches for everything they want them to say, and they get up there and read the speeches. It's a rare thing that the president would create a singular speech. They just don't do that anymore. Oddly enough, though, they still get credit for the words, even though they're all ghostwritten by third parties. I find that curious. It's no surprise to me that there are people in the government who work to undermine the current administration. Why do I say that? Well, because many of these people get hired for life. And they remain, even when the presidential election, the governor's election changes, and new people come in. And I have observed as this play out in multiple organizations. For example, public education bent itself inside out and backwards to resist No Child Left Behind through both the Bush administration and the Obama administration. So here were people who went out of their way to refuse to do it, to drag their feet, to look the other way, to impede the progress in every way, shape, and form.
Right, we're going to have to pause.
Okay, I got to go.
Call back after the news and finish your thoughts, Cindy.
Thanks so much.
Joe.
Appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565 is the number she used and will use. We have one text, one email, and we got one call to finish. And so we'll take care of all that business when we return. But first, CBS News, then our local headlines. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury, 9 a.m. Good morning.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark. Mark Lawrence, Joe McGranahan, Rob Center, fabulous producer. Matt Cotrillo is a clackety clacker over in the newsroom. He's doing that even as we speak, so we appreciate his hard work. On the Mark, sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. We're talking about the op-ed in the New York Times today written by an anonymous individual who claims to be a senior official within the White House who's got, negative information to report about the president. It's not really scathing reports or anything. It's certainly nothing new, but we're continuing to talk about that. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236, as Stan has done, and we'll read that on the air as time progresses here. In the news, the Snyder County Coalition for Kids Wednesday night kicked off a public awareness campaign on addiction and recovery with a visit from a former NBA player. NBA player Chris Herron kicked off the campaign with a presentation Wednesday night at the Grace Covenant Community Church in Middleburg. He also conducted special assemblies with Selins Grove Midwest and Mifflinburg school districts. In his presentation, Herron talked about losing his lifelong dream of playing in the NBA to drug addiction. Herron's been in recovery since 2008. He spoke to the group last night, then also, or earlier in the day, spoke to school districts around the valley about ways that kids can stay on the straight and narrow. All of this will eventually lead to the coalition's annual conference December 12th at Susquehanna University. President Donald Trump will be back in Pennsylvania to mark the solemn 17th anniversary of the September 11th attacks. He'll participate in a ceremony at the Line 11 Memorial in western Pennsylvania next Tuesday. First Lady Melania Trump will accompany the president to remembrances in Shanksville, PA. Nearly 3,000 people were killed on September 11, 2001, when hijackers flew commercial planes into New York's World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and that Pennsylvania field that was the worst terrorist attack on U.S. soil. Thanks to rapidly declining viewership and interest, declining interest in the NFL, the NFL has good news for fans who are still interested. It's going to be much easier to watch NFL games online this year. The league is finally dropping a requirement that that viewers sign in with a cable or satellite subscription. It's seeking to expand its online audience at a time when TV ratings are declining. The regular season starts today. You'll be able to hear the Atlanta at Eagles game here on WDKOK. 7:30 is the pregame. You can also hear the bird's eye view on Eagle 107. The NFL says as far as online viewing, there are some restrictions. Streamed games are typically only accessible via phones and tablets. To watch on a big TV, you still need a cable or satellite subscription or one through the cable-like online package such as PlayStation View. Other major professional leagues still require TV subscriptions for hometown teams, a key element to getting TV networks on board. They'll get to sell the majority of the ads on subscription-free football streams. And in a case of magnanimous irony, a company whose prescription opioid marketing practices are being blamed for sparking the addiction and overdose crisis that's gripping the U.S. is now helping to fund a lower-cost overdose antidote. OxyContin maker Purdue Pharma announced Wednesday that it's making a $3.4 million grant to Harm Reduction Therapeutics, a Pittsburgh-based nonprofit, to help develop a low-cost naloxone spray. The naloxone grant is a way the company says it can show that it is trying to stem the damage done by opioids. The grant is one example of the meaningful steps Purdue is taking to help address opioid abuse in our community, says the Purdue president and CEO Greg Landau in a statement. Of course, they've essentially almost single-handedly caused the entire addiction crisis through false marketing and lying to doctors, but now they're interested in being part of the solution.
Brother, there's an editorial comment.
Well, yeah.
Hope you have a good attorney.
That's what this show is all about. Oh, yeah. Yes, I would be the first person. Well, I don't know if Pharma or if Purdue is suing a lot of people, but they certainly are being sued by many, many people. Mostly the estates of people who were hoodwinked into the false narrative that Purdue originally had, that the drug is harmless and non-addicting. All right, 1-800-795-9565. But don't worry, Purdue is now interested in helping to fund Harm Reduction Therapeutics. That's like a firebug contributing to the local volunteer fire company. So it makes perfect sense. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarket@kok.com or text us at 70236. We did send out a text connect yesterday. I believe, when the Milton schools were delayed still farther, or for some of the students, it was delayed still farther. So that went out via text connect. 1-800-795-9565. Is that Hometown Pharmacy toll-free line.
And we have a text that we can read here quickly because we don't want to skip it. It said, there's no reason to believe the anonymous editorial in the New York Times. They have a track record of printing fake news and anti-Trump stories, so it's not surprising. It's all an effort to take eyes and ears off the Kavanaugh hearings.
Oh, geez, which they're going well, too. We can talk about those as the show progresses. Cindy, thanks for calling back. You're on the mark.
So I just wanted to finish my little spiel. I can point to lots of examples in organizations and the government in particular where people in the jobs thwart the will of the law either by dragging their feet, ignoring what was supposed to get done, or misdirecting so that it doesn't get finished. Another good example would be the Pennsylvania Department of Education, who has been who did their level best to thwart the intent of No Child Left Behind, taking months and months and months to release test data on children in schools, even though they had the data. They just dragged their feet about releasing this information. It just goes on across the board. Look at the dysfunction in the Veterans Administration and their failure to report the problems that they've had, and even worse, their failure to remediate those problems to provide the care that veterans deserve. And of course, this hangs on their effort to deny these people care. You know, the people within the Veterans Administration colluded to deny the veterans care. And it's just beyond shameful that that went on. And that's, you know, it's no surprise to me that there are people within the government who seek to thwart whatever administration's in place because it doesn't ring true to their ideals. That doesn't mean, because you don't agree with me about something, that I become an amoral person. I just have a different compass in my life than you do. It does not mean my life is compassless. I think that's a false premise right there in the argument. Now, just because you don't see me at the synagogue doesn't mean I don't respect Jewish people. I mean, there's just so many extensions of absurdity that in this, what bits and pieces I've heard of this thing, I just scoff at this human being. And finally, let me say this. If you were so upset, so taken aback, so distressed about what goes on with this administration, then the courageous thing to do would be to throw away your multi-$100,000-a-year job and come out, expose with facts what you know is happening, and move on.
You're absolutely right.
Well, maybe they want to stay.
That's what a courageous person does, not write an anonymous editorial void of facts, filled with, you know, innuendo. That's
well, but maybe they want to stay in the administration so they can continue to do good for the country by thwarting the president's more impulsive, negative interests.
Well, so
yes?
To say
no?
That's good. You know, Mark, you want Obamacare. I don't. To you, preserving Obamacare is a good thing. To me, it's wrong. I think Obamacare is immoral. You think it's, you know, the second coming. That doesn't make either
just,
of
this
us
This is
evil
a terrible
people.
For instance, for example, that's an untrue for instance. But anyway, we'll stipulate that it's true so you can continue making your point.
I'm sorry. I took it that you approved and supported Obamacare.
He does, but he's backing off of that now.
I see. Well, anyway, I think it's simple enough to look at. Sure, a lot of people in the State Department are unhappy because Trump has backed away of the policy that we run the world. Good. I've said this for years. I've said it under Bush. I said it under Obama. I'm going to say it under Trump. It is not the job of 330 million people in this country to run a $7 trillion world. It's just not. We don't have the resources.
Well, we're the world's policemen. Who's going establish moral compasses in some of these lawless places?
Some of the things that our country has done in the name of this whole we'll show you the way has been some of the most undemocratic and amoral things I can think of. So to suggest that this should be our job is very short-sighted. We need to attend to the problems in this country. We need to create a more just and fair community in our country before we go out and shake our finger in anybody else's face.
Well, and I think it portrays us in a poor light when we do our nation building or our right fixing or giving everybody our moral compass around here. When we ignore so many other things, either in our own country or elsewhere, you know, we'll pick out a country where we say, well, you got to get squared away here, like in Afghanistan. You know, you can't have the Taliban. You can't have, you know, whatever else that's terrible happening there. But we ignore, you know, non-oil-rich countries, you know, so for example, in Africa. And, you know, we're doing very little in the Sudan or any place else where
we
could have.
Mark, we gave the Sudan its own extra country. We spent billions.
We gave them a country.
Yes, we did. The Clinton,
we need to do more.
Under Obama, went in there and they established the country of South Sudan. They built them roads. They helped them to establish a government. They set them all up. Yes, it's tanking. Yes, okay. It is. But it is not a lifelong commitment. No more than I am personally responsible for the lives of my children till the day they die, am I going to be responsible for what goes on in the dysfunction or function of every country in the world. And we can't, no more than I expect you to like the same music I do.
Well, this is, we're agreeing here, actually, so. All right, well, let's wrap, we are agreeing on this topic. All right, let's wrap up. Go ahead, go right ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Cindy. 1-800-795-9565 is the opening line, the open line. We'll be taking a break shortly, but we'll take more comers.
This ties in with a little bit what Cindy was saying at the start. And this, again, is from the op-ed piece. Meetings with him, meaning the president, veer off topic and off the rails. He engages in repetitive rants, and his impulsiveness results in half-baked, ill-informed, and occasionally reckless decisions that have to be walked back. There is literally no telling whether he might change his mind from 1 minute to the next. A top official complained to me recently, exasperated by an Oval Office meeting at which the president flip-flopped on a major policy decision he'd made only a week earlier. The erratic behavior would be more concerning if it weren't for unsung heroes in and around the White House. Some of his aides have been cast as villains by the media, but in private they have gone to great lengths to keep bad decisions contained to the West Wing, though they clearly are not always successful. You know, so this is, we should have a clue here as to who this might be. All we need to do is find out. If I were the official and I complained to somebody about the president flip-flopping, I would know who this person was, wouldn't I?
Well, I wonder if it is Mike Pence. You know, he sort of has a strong moral compass and thinks, you know, staying in the administration. That also explains why maybe he doesn't resign, you know, because he would lose sort of this connection to all this, you know, information that he's getting.
If someone in Washington walked up to another person and said there is literally no telling whether he might change his mind from 1 minute to the next, and this is shown in this letter or this op-ed piece as a direct quote, I would know exactly who this was.
Hmm.
Wouldn't I?
I would think so. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Let's take another quickie break. But when we come back, if you want to stay on this topic, folks, give us a buzz. We got one email pending, but we'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. We will be right back.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. No, not the holidays. I'm talking about back to school. The sound of the pencil sharpener as it makes the perfect point. The satisfying smell of a fresh box of crayons. Organizing my backpack so everything I need is right at my fingertips. I'm a busy kid in a busy family, so time management is a must. We don't have time to waste waiting for hours for our prescriptions. So Mom calls ahead to our hometown pharmacy. They get our refills ready and boom, we're in and out fast, just like me on the soccer field.
Discover the hometown pharmacy difference today at Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Market Street, Bloomsburg. Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Trotz Pharmacy, Walnut Street, Mifflinburg. And the Danville Pharmacy, Mill Street, Danville.
I know what you're thinking. Most 9-year-olds don't feel this way about school. My parents hope my excitement lasts until at least the actual holiday break. I say it'll last our year. I got this.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. Extraordinaire producer Rob Center is shining on the other side of the glass, waiting for the little red lights to go off on the phone. You make that happen. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. Please email us at onthemark@wkok.com, as one individual has done about the New York Times op-ed today.
You want me to read that now? I thought
yes.
You were getting paperwork together. I thought you were going to launch into a commercial.
Nope. I'm getting ready for the next commercial break.
EB says, funny how so many conservatives are upset at the New York Times for that op-ed piece. I thought those simpletons on fake Fox News were going to have their heads explode. It wasn't the Times that made these claims. It was a conservative who works for Trump. Easier to blame someone else rather than take responsibility, the good old conservative way. Then again, Donald J. Trump is perfect and never ever makes a mistake. He is flawless. Protect dear leader at all costs.
I didn't write that.
Well, it assumes a lot of facts not in evidence.
Well, you know, like that, what?
Well, suppose I wrote a story inside the Obama White House.
He can prove their heads were nearly ready to explode.
Right. I wrote a story about the Obama White House where I said President Obama was chasing secretaries around the desk. He was drinking alcohol in the middle of the afternoon, you know, and that if it weren't for the people in the White House, he would have been a disaster of a president. That doesn't make it true. You know, and people on the right would say, oh, well, you know, we knew that was going on there, just like people on the left, like E.B. here, automatically assume that the New York Times has no agenda other than the absolute truth. Maybe at one time that was the New York Times agenda. I don't think it is the case
absolute
anymore.
Truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, it may have been back in the day.
This may be entirely accurate, but, you know, given where it was published.
But we don't know.
I would think it would have a lot more impact if it went to some place that was a little more fair and balanced.
If they send it to Fox News?
No, not Fox News.
NPR?
I was trying to think who I might
Al Jazeera,
send it to.
ABC?
Al Jazeera.
NBC? CNBC?
Well,
Turner Broadcasting.
There must be some fair media somewhere that I would send it to.
Well, you could send it to PR Wire or something like that. There's a PR Wire that you can subscribe to that they take news releases from individuals and they just publish them verbatim. But it's a clearinghouse for PR. So, like, if I wanted to say Joe's a super great On the Mark host, I would write up a release that says, you know, a elderly former radio executive is a fantastic co-host. Co-host on WKOK.
Elderly?
Yeah.
I teach you anything?
I know. I'm just harassing you. But anyway, but I could send that to PR Newswire, and they would print it. And newspapers subscribe to this, and so do radio stations, and we see them. So when we do want something we want to use, then we can get it. All right? So there it is. But it's not objective. It's just a clearinghouse. Everything is there. So, and likewise, if you wanted, shortly after that news release appeared, you wanted to say, well, I appreciate being called a good executive. I'm hardly elderly, and I'm not frail, and use of that word is disparaging. And then you could publish that response, you know. So,
well, they could have.
I'm just saying that's a clearinghouse.
Could have gone to Politico, which is kind of down the middle.
I wouldn't think of them as that. I would think of them as pretty liberal, but, you know, I don't really look at it very much.
I've seen some articles both ways.
Okay. I've only ever heard a little bit about them. I wouldn't say that I've read much from them. From them are making the news.
But, you know,
more often.
I think what this is also tied into is the Kavanaugh hearings. I think there's a concerted effort here.
Oh, a distraction?
Yeah, well, I think they're definitely trying.
Why would you want to distract from the Kavanaugh hearings?
Not distract from them, just reinforce the idea that an unbalanced president appointed this man to the Supreme Court.
See if he can flip a Republican.
We need to stop him because the president's unbalanced, and we don't know what kind of a private deal this guy may have made. Of course, they're insinuating that President Trump appointed him because he doesn't feel, or allegedly doesn't feel, that the president can be prosecuted or, you know, brought up on criminal charges while he's sitting.
Yeah, what an opinion to have written in your past at a time like this. Imagine if he hadn't written that, he'd be having even smoother sailings. Well, we can talk about Mr. Kavanaugh. Let's read this email on this topic.
Okay. So what if he changes his mind often? What does he have a cabinet for? Basically, to help him and to point out perhaps things that might occur if this or that would happen. I'm sure what I think from day to day without anything may have flaws, and if it were not for my partner husband, I might make huge mistakes. President Trump is our president, and that doesn't mean he is Superman. If he didn't have a group of people called a cabinet, he would have no meetings, would have no gavel, and would make no rash decisions or great decisions without question, no matter what. Lay off, people. It's time to accept the fact he's our president and respect him.
Well, I think you alluded to that, this is the purpose of sort of free-flowing meetings and so on. You know, you can go to we have PD meetings here where the whole staff is present, and somebody can say, oh, I know, I think we should broadcast live from Lake Augusta on the 4th of July and do a new On the Mark live picnic show from an island in the middle of one of the Catbird Islands up by the bridge, okay? And somebody else would say, well, okay, that's fine, but you're going to have to pay overtime to the extra staff that's there because it's a holiday, and we don't actually own a boat, so, you know, we're going to have to go up to Moyers or up to Milton Marine and get one.
When I came here, one of the people, the program director at the time, came in to me and said, "We're getting set to broadcast wrestling this fall." I said, "You're going to broadcast what?" He said, "Wrestling." And I said, "How in the," and I used a four-letter word referring to Hades, "do you broadcast wrestling? I've heard of play-by-play. What do you run, the grunt by groan?" You know, and so I came from an area where this wasn't done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and but I had to be, it had to be explained to me after I gave my little outburst how big this was in this area and how important this was to people and what a legend Phil Lockoff was and what the Shikellamy wrestling program meant to the community. And so I would have made a big mistake if I hadn't listened to people and said, take that off the air.
Right. And that's how ideas work at meetings. You know, and in fact, Roger, the boss here, says, go ahead and think out of the box and think big and, you know, and just, you know, feel free to voice strange ideas so that you are thinking about potentially good ideas that could work also. You know, like the idea of broadcasting wrestling matches seemed strange to me when I first came here as well. But the moment that one of the broadcasts didn't work because we had a phone line glitch, the phones light up and hundreds of people wrote us letters and say, you know, how can you take the Braves wrestling match off the air? We love the wrestling.
But in the case of a cabinet or advisors to the president, they are there to do exactly that.
Right, that is their job.
To moderate the president, to give him information, to make decisions that he may not have had. And if the president doesn't tell them honestly and frankly where he's coming from, they can have no impact on him. You know, if I just keep my mouth shut and say, what do you guys think, and I never tell you how I think, you know, and I just sit there quietly and then form an opinion afterwards, you don't know what helped me arrive at that decision. But by being able to say something that maybe is outrageous, you know, I get the room going. I get them talking about what I just said and telling me their opinions and giving me their ideas. And that's what the whole thing's supposed to be about, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, and again, as you pointed out in the first minute of the show, and we repeat it a couple of ways, there's no big revelation here. You know, they're talking about it as like it's this shocking editorial. And what it is somebody speaking, not off the record, speaking anonymously, confirming what we already knew.
Well, they say it's the opening rounds of the more attempt to bring him down. I mean, that's the goal of the left here.
To get to the impeachment.
Well, and then you have the Kavanaugh hearings with people being arrested and screaming. They had to take the poor guy's family out, you know, of all the things. That kind of rotten behavior. I mean, the Democrats point their fingers at the Republicans, but they've orchestrated this mess at these hearings.
1-800-795-9565. I got to take a quickie break. Let me tell you something very important, and that's that On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, Routes 11 and 15, Homeless Wharf. We invite you to do as I have done, and that's build my next truck at sunburymotors.com. And you can build a Ford car or truck, a small car, ultra-efficient car, even a hybrid or an all-electric Ford or Hyundai, a sedan or the new sporty car, or all the cars are looking pretty good there. The Kia, the Sorento, and all the rest of them are fabulous vehicles, and the Lincoln cars and trucks. But you can build one to your precise specifications at sunburymotors.com. And I'm waiting for the Ford Ranger to come out because I'm going to build one that has a crew cab and a 6-foot bed and a towing package and a skid plate in the front and a bumper guard and truck lights over the cab. And then I'm going to click on send it to the Sunbury Motor Company, and then I'm going to try to have to explain the pickle that I'm in with my lovely bride. But that's what you can do online. You can build a Ford, Kia, Hyundai, or Lincoln car or truck to your precise specifications. You shouldn't need to. They got hundreds of vehicles on display at the Sunbury Motor Company, but they would just love to chit-chat with you online as well and get a vehicle all set up for you. SunburyMotors.com. We'll take a quick break. We got a caller waiting on the Kavanaugh hearing, so we're going to take a pivot point here. Soon we'll be talking about the Kavanaugh hearings in a moment.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right. Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We're laughing at the Kavanaugh hearings and some irony in Washington, D.C.
Right.
All right. 1-800-795-9565 is the open phones. That puts us on the line with Sammy. You're watching the U.S. Supreme Court hearings, I imagine. Good morning, sir. Go right ahead. You're on the mark.
Somebody I think this is Trump's way of getting publicity and endearing himself to the extreme religious groups. This problem can be solved very simply.
Wait.
Right? What problem?
Well,
yeah,
you
thank
go
you.
On to, please don't interrupt me.
Sammy, what problem?
Important issues.
Sammy, what problem?
Are you there?
Yes, Sammy, what problem? You're talking about a problem, but you didn't identify it.
Oh, the abortion problem. That's why he wants Kavanaugh in there to reverse the Roe v. Wade, okay?
Gotcha. That makes perfect sense. Yep, makes perfect sense now.
No, we've left, Sammy.
Now can I say something else?
Yes, please.
Okay. Why don't we just simply turn it over to the states?
Well, that's an idea. Lots of people talk about that. But Kavanaugh's probably going to do that.
Well, I would hope so, but we're not sure. He may want to reverse Roe v. Wade.
Well, if he does that, that effectively does return it to the states.
Well, maybe. Well, anyway, let's just make it a proclamation. The emperor decides. All the states will decide the abortion issue, and we can go on to some more important issues.
Well, then you support overturning Roe v. Wade, which does turn it back to the states.
No, I don't want to overturn Roe v. Wade. I want to let women have their choice in this matter.
But you just said turn it back to the states.
Where they can have that choice there.
But, Sammy, if the states get the decision, it's no longer a federal law. It's now Roe v. Wade overturned, and each state has its own policy.
Now, okay with me. What's wrong with that?
Well, you just said you wanted women
to
have the same rights.
You have to go to New York or California to get an abortion. So what? Or maybe some other state. Hello?
We're listening. No, we're listening, buddy. Go ahead and finish.
We got bad signals here again today.
Not really.
We understand. We hear you. We don't understand you, but we hear you.
Stop these hearings and cut this damn thing off and go and let the states decide it. That's all. Supreme Court, you need this one. This is a big decision today. We're going to let the states decide this. What's wrong with that?
That's an idea. That's sort of the next step. If Judge Kavanaugh is going to be the conservative voice that everybody thinks he'll be.
Well, if he votes to overturn Roe v. Wade,
right.
He has said that's established law, settled law, and he isn't likely to bring it up. The Supreme Court justices can't just bring this stuff up on their own, Sammy.
Yeah, I'd like to change an old law. Tony.
I think Sammy's gone. Are you there?
No, I'm still here. Let's stop making these issues so complicated. Tell Trump to get some more issues, like this gifts to the farmers. This thing of $5 billion to the farmers.
Well, first they kill them with
that money. Now, are you listening? Now, put on your hearing aid.
Go ahead.
Mr. Republican there, we don't really need that. They're just following in the footsteps of the Democrats. Give the farmers another welfare check. What they simply need to do is get a solid fuel engine on the farms, revive the old steam engine, modernize them, and it's all outlined in my U.S. patent.
I knew we'd get to your patent and your motor.
And then we can make the Midwest, we can put the Midwest on fire. We got plenty of energy out there in the form of, weeds and miscanthus and all kinds of good stuff.
We're going to burn weeds to generate energy. There's an idea.
Yes, right. There you go. Or wood.
Yeah, well, okay.
All right, we got you, Sammy. Thank you so much.
But wait a minute. The point of it is, though, the trouble, he'll be abandoning the oil patch, which brought him to the party. You understand that?
Yipper.
Whatever you say.
All right, thank you, sir.
No, it's a fact. And besides that, it's green. We can stop adding more CO2 to the air and keep the oceans from rising.
By burning weeds.
By burning weeds, wood, anything that was formerly
lint.
Green is now brown.
There's a job. What do you do? Well, I collect lint for Sammy's motor.
But we're still burning something, so it's going to increase CO2.
Yeah, fires have byproducts.
No, overall, in the end, it won't. You'll get in balance again.
I got you. Okay. Well, I certainly can't argue that.
All right. Go back and study that.
We're on it. Thank you so much, Sammy. Appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9.
Are you there?
Yeah. Yeah, not anymore. 1-800-795-9565. The Kavanaugh hearings, I finally got to hear a little bit of it yesterday. They were live on CNN, and fascinating repartee. I thought that was interesting. And you find out just how distracting the people in the gallery that do the little protests and yell and yell and yell, how irritating that is when you're trying to pay attention. I mean, the hearings are continuing anyway.
What I love was Cory Booker, you know, I'm going to vote against you.
It doesn't matter what you say.
We need these documents released so we can make an informed decision. Well, if you already made up your mind you're going to vote against him, what do you need documents for?
I thought Kavanaugh did very well. I wouldn't be. I think he's going to flip a Democrat. So what's going to happen is, you know, somebody who's, you know, maybe a middle-ranking Democratic senator who's not, you know, one of the flaky ones and not one of the publicly leadership ones, is going to end up being convinced that he'd be a good Supreme Court justice.
Well, if I were somebody like Bob Casey, and I've told you before, I have a lot of respect for Bob Casey. If I were somebody like him, I'd be embarrassed by this. I would say, I don't like what my party is doing, you know, and I've changed my mind, and I'm going to give this man a fair hearing. I'm going to meet with him. I'm going to hear what he has to say. Because having to take the man's family out, all these people yelling and screaming every time something happens.
What was Kavanaugh's, what was Senator Casey's reasoning for not voting for him? Because he's still irritated
about the Heritage Foundation or whoever it was.
Oh, that's who came up with the list. That's right. That's right.
According to him, but the president says that's not the case.
Well, who cares if you get your list at Walmart, if it's a qualified judge?
That's the main thing. Is it a qualified candidate for the Supreme Court? And Kavanaugh is certainly qualified.
I'm not looking forward to him being on the courts, but he certainly has the temperament.
What do you think he's going to do?
I don't want another conservative on the court.
He's someone who believes the Constitution should be enforced as written. He's a very thoughtful man. I've seen the television spot that I'm surprised to see, but it was the attorneys general from a number of states recommending him. Some of them have worked with him. Some of them work for him. Say he's a fair man. He makes decisions based on the evidence in front of him. He's not an ideologue.
Well, he's not the worst choice of a judge from everything I've heard and read so far. So I don't have any problem with him in particular. I just, you know, this idea that judges are partisan irritates me, and so therefore we don't need...
It irritates him. He said yesterday clearly that he doesn't believe judges should be political.
Well, I agree. But on the other hand, you know, certain views are thought to be, you know, certain decisions are sort of Republican-ish or Democratic-ish.
Let's stop and think about it for a minute. We create a system in this country where judges have to be, at least at some point in their careers, maybe early in their careers, a member of a political party and run for the office of county
have
judge
to be elected.
Or district justice or district judge, you know, and so they have to be elected. They have to be part of the political process.
Then they have to be
then
sometimes approved by.
When they get high enough, we all of a sudden expect that they have no political leanings whatsoever. And yet, up to that point, they depended on the political system to get them to where they are. I think we need to go back to, you know, and I know it sounds radical, but don't elect judges. Merit selection based on their criteria, what they've learned, how knowledgeable they are about the law.
And because we know how the legislature makes such wise decisions and wonderful appointments, that we think that would be a good idea.
Well, how would you suggest, if you just said you don't think judges should be political, so how do we get judges then, if not
that
by merit selection?
I don't know. They have to be apolitical from birth.
Should we just put names in a hat and draw them out?
They can never have had a personal opinion of any kind, just information but no opinion.
Well, one of our writers says, the person who spilled the beans to the failing New York Times should be turned over to Trump and charged with treason for stabbing Trump in the back. Those who are disloyal to Trump must really hate America. The New York Times should lose their license to do news. Signed, MAGA.
No, it's hashtag.
Hashtag MAGA.
Make America great again.
But you know that is. What does that mean? Let's take that at 1 second. As reprehensible as I find this thing is, there's no crime here that I can see. It certainly isn't treason.
Somebody anonymously writing an op-ed piece in the New York Times.
How do you call that treason? Under what stretch of the imagination? It's disloyal. No argument there.
Did the president ask for loyalty oaths, you know, where he asked people to sign papers saying you'll be loyal to him?
I think that was somebody else who did that, wasn't it? Who was in trouble for asking for loyalty? I'm trying to remember. It's terrible. It was not too long ago.
The Sunbury police chief?
That's the mayor of Sunbury.
Okay. All right. Well, that's the only one in my brain lately.
Yeah. But I don't think that this is, you know, a crime. And the president says they should be turned over to the government. Well, for what? You know, if the guy comes forward
for being
and says,
a bad president, well, we've had a couple of them. Remind me of not Teddy Roosevelt, the FDR story that he was viewed as being, you know, flaky and.
You mean Teddy Roosevelt?
Is that who it was?
It was
okay.
Teddy, wasn't okay. FDR. FDR was viewed as being radical.
Wise and sage. Okay, that's fine.
But Teddy Roosevelt was. I mean, he came out of the New York City police commissioner. He, you know, was a stickler for law and order and doing it right. He would make rounds at night and he would come up on cops who were loafing or drinking in saloons and he'd fire them on the spot. You know, he was just a general pain in the neck to the New York Republican establishment. And Roscoe Conkling and some of those boys decided, we're going to bury this guy. We're going to nominate him for vice president.
And guess what?
Guess what? The president got shot and killed, and Teddy Roosevelt was there. He trust-busted, which they thought was illegal. He destroyed the monopoly many big businesses had. He was considered a radical, you know, and he had people within his own administration working against him.
Okay. So he's got the same thing as President Trump had. All right, 1-800-795-9565. We'll take a break after we read one more email. Joe.
Dick says, the office of President of the U.S. is due our respect. The office holder must earn that respect no matter his or her party. To date, September 6th, 2018, Donald Trump has not earned mine. One example of the many that I think he has fallen short, the wall, the one that Mexico is going to pay for. Remember how often we heard that chant after chant. Build the wall, build the wall. Who's going to pay for it? Rally after rally. Now the threat to shut down the government if the wall isn't funded in our budget. What happened to Mexico paying for the wall? Why wasn't that part of the trade agreement with Mexico reached last week? The man must earn my respect. I just don't respect this president at this time. I have already mentioned in the past his disrespect of John McCain, unforgivable to this veteran. Well, he said eventually, one way or another, Mexico will pay for it.
Yeah, originally I think he was talking about them just paying for it in simplest terms. But then when he found out that they wouldn't pay for it, he said, okay, well, fine, we'll penalize them so that they're paying in the long run.
Yeah.
1-800-795-9565 is the promised toll-free line. We'll take a quickie break, and when we return, we have all four lines open. We've talked about the president and the New York Times op-ed written by an anonymous author, and we've talked about Justice Kavanaugh. Does anybody think, as I think, that we're going to see a Democrat flip and vote for him? 1-800-795-9565. We'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark. Chris, thanks for waiting until the very last minute to call. I guess it's not that late, but anyway, go ahead. You're on the mark.
Yeah, about the New York Times piece. First of all, they don't need a license, I don't believe, to be a newspaper. I don't think there's any such thing. The TV stations, I think, do.
Go ahead, say that again.
You're right about that. There's no license required. You just have to be able to buy ink by the barrel.
That shows the low-knowledge voters low-knowledge voters, I think he said it was, that Trump says he loves writing in. But anyway, it seems like it's, well, obviously the guy's a conservative who did it, and he likes the conservative policies that you do, the tax breaks for the rich and everything, which I will remind Dan, the promise was a tax break that would not benefit himself. That was the promise. There was even a special real estate one besides all the other millions of dollars that might benefit Trump in that tax break. But anyway, to go on with the New York Times guy, Lawrence O'Donnell had a suggestion of who it was based on writing style and knowledge and the type of things he talked about, and he came up with Dan Coats, who's National Security Director, something like that. And if you look at the Barbara Waters show that he was on live when the breaking news came that Trump had invited Russians to the White House, you can look at his reaction. And you can see that he could well be somebody who might be doing such a thing. Now, I don't quite understand the strategy, because if the strategy is to make him less crazy, this is almost guaranteed to make him more crazy.
Hey, good point.
Yeah, so if he sees that people recognize his behavior.
I don't quite understand that, but...
So then you're saying you think that this might be something of a put-up deal.
What do you mean, put-up?
The fact that this could not be exactly as it's advertised to be by the writer and the New York Times.
Well, that's exactly how it's advertised by the writer in the New York Times, isn't it?
What?
Maybe Dan Coats works in the White House. He's high in the White House. What's not right?
Well, what you just said, you said you maybe I'm lost.
I think we're at a pivot
ahead.
Point
what
here.
What did you think I said?
Well, I thought you were saying that you know, because of the way this was, the guy's reactions, that he was.
I didn't say that he did it intentionally to drive Trump crazy. I think that's a side effect that maybe he hadn't thoroughly thought through, or had other reasons for ignoring. Another reason it could be him is he's probably, this is going to be his last government job ever anyway, so he's probably going to be out of politics
or she
of his age. And he was also a good friend of John McCain.
So what do you think the motivation was?
I think the motivation is just what he said it was, for the most part, that hey, this guy the dangerous ideas all had to do with foreign policy and things like that, and probably the Russians, inviting Russians to the White House, and the whole Russian meeting in Europe and things like that. But I think he's telling the truth about everything.
Well, Donald
probably.
Trump wasn't the first president to invite Russians to the White House.
All right.
That's certainly true. By the way, I did want to ask you very quickly. I don't think the Democrats orchestrated the mess in the Kavanaugh hearings.
You don't, huh?
I think what the Democrats, the committee did at the beginning, was very well justified and organized. I don't think they have anything to do with the people
shouting out and being hauled away.
All right, we got to take another caller. Thank you so much. Appreciate the call, Chris. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy of Mount Pleasant Mills, Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg, and the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. Go ahead and do as I've done. Go see Terry out at Shade Mountain on Route 35 in Mount Pleasant Mills, or visit Trutz Pharmacy on Walnut Street in Mifflinburg. See Steve at the Norrie Pharmacy on Duke Street in Northumberland, Kathy at the Danville Pharmacy on Mill Street in Danville, Jennifer at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop on Market Street, and Brad at the Lewisburg Pharmacy. Not one right after another on the same day, Joe. This is over the course of several months. The Lewisburg Pharmacy is on 2nd Street in Lewisburg, and you'll find out what it's like to be super served by a pharmacist who cares and is ultra knowledgeable and really wants to help you out. You get super service, delivery, drug take back, you name it, everything you could possibly want at a real pharmacy is available at the hometown pharmacies. All right, Frank, we got about 30 seconds left. You're on the mark.
All right, calling it for my therapy session. I'll tell you what, I don't believe that the article from the New York Times is done. It's too well written. I think that's coming from a source within the New York Times.
All right.
And Trump is reacting like a puppet. He needed to think this through.
All right, we got you.
Yeah, call back tomorrow and finish that thought.
But I will.
Okay,
thank you. Well said. I think you said enough. Got the point across. Thank you, Joe. We'll see you next Monday. Or no, you'll see somebody else next Monday. Yep.
Right.
This is WKOK Sunbury.